All right, welcome back. Looking forward to getting to all of these open lines. But last night, what is going on with these sea creatures, right? We've got two sightings recently of Loch Ness. We talked about that last night. More video out there. We've got this blob thing that has washed up on the shores in Indonesia. And now a crazy piece of footage from Maine, right here in the United States, which shows some kind of creature just leisurely swimming down the state's Penobscot River. Now, shot by Alan Dukes, who said that this is what appears to be our very own Loch Ness monster, right? You should see the video, and you can check it out right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I mean, what is going on, right? I want to see something. All right, I'm going to get back to all of your phone calls. This is Jimmy Church. I'm hosting tonight on a Saturday. I want to thank Peter Lavenda for coming in, not only for the 100th anniversary of Fatima, but what is now Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. And I'm going to get to all of your phone calls right after this short break. Stay with us. Wow, we came back out for the break, and I looked up at the studio clock, and it said 11, 11, 11. That was pretty weird. It's kind of cool. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. All right, let's go right back to it. Wild card, Jennifer in Buffalo, New York. Jennifer, you're up next. Thanks for holding.
Is this Jimmy Church?
Yes, it is, Jennifer. Is
I've
this
always wanted
Jennifer? Is this
to see
Jennifer, though? That's the question.
I've always wanted to say this to you. Go Blacky Teppy.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo!
And I'll say it at the end of the show tonight. Thank you so much, Jennifer. What's on your mind?
I've been on hold, and the one comment from the international caller, this Pavlovian knee-jerk reaction to classify everything somebody disagrees with
Right.
as panic is
Yes.
disrespectful to Satan.
Yeah,
He
yeah.
is way too busy to worry if someone's playing folk guitar in your church, man.
That is Jennifer. I tend to agree with that. And you know, that goes not only with that side, the dark side, you know, the negative side, but also goes with the positive side too as well. You know, everybody's just a little bit too busy.
Right, but if you didn't understand the translation, Satan meant like the prosecutor, the adversary, the one like Bruce Lee said when he moved to America, he had no real friends around him to keep his blade sharp, like no grit to keep that sharpness edge on. And in the Hebraic text, it's explained that Satan was the one who kept God's blade sharp.
Yeah,
So,
well spoken, Jennifer. Well played on this 100th anniversary of Fatima. Well done.
I wanted to mention something about that with Malachi Martin, who talked to Art Bell about this. I was going to try for the assist on the dot connector of ultimate hierarchy. Okay.
Right.
Well, see, I was an experiencer as a child and always saw it, and I'd listen to Art Bell like the covers, so my parents didn't know or whatever, ever, since middle school. And one time, Malachi Martin was speaking, he was asked about Fatima, and he said the greatest thing ever. He said if they had been Irish children, they would have been taught that when you have an apparition of such, you first thing you check is the apparition's feet to see if they are cloven hoofs. What?
I think I remember that.
Right?
You know what? You know what's really strange, Jennifer? And thank you for the phone call and reminding me about that because Malachi has been brought up in Twitter tonight about 50 times, just to let you know. And I've gotten a bunch of email about that too, which means to me, which says to me, the Coast audience does not forget, right? The Coast audience has their favorite shows, and we can all look back 15 or 20 years ago and relate to not only events of today, but the knowledge that's coming at us today, and we can compare it to and compare notes.
Well, and I think it's also a fact that the coast listeners understand the difference between giving a snow job and giving the truth as someone believes it. It might not be the whole truth, or they might have been lied to, but if they're speaking from a place of honesty, versus a place of, you know, propagandizing something, we
right.
can tell. We have that radar up.
Yep, yep. That filter is always going. You're absolutely right, Jennifer. Thank you so much for the phone call. Thank you for standing up.
You are the man.
Hey, Jennifer, go Beckley Tappy.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. Thank you.
I'll talk to you. What a great phone call. All right, let's go right in order. Let's go to Wild Card 2. Let's go to Lynn in Toronto, Canada. Lynn, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Nice to speak with you. Well, I was trying to comment about the Fatima topic that you were discussing, and I think I started to pray the rosary without being Catholic and in just very sort of a simple way, and it brought me incredible peace and focus, incredible calm. And you brought up some incredible issues tonight. I'd never really contemplated how they could have, I guess you call it, politicized the whole message. I'll admit that I tried to contemplate it for a while. What do we know about it? What do we not know? But perhaps, you know, I think I have been told I'm naive. I just tried to, in a way, naively pray the rosary, and it brought me this incredible, you know, feeling. And twice in her messages, I have a little booklet. She said, the Blessed Mother said to the children, Our Lady Fatima, she did say the rosary every day to obtain world peace and the end of the war. And I thought that was very special. It's not like, to me, she didn't get all like, you must go back to church. Now, remember, I wasn't Catholic when I found out about all these things.
Right.
So it just sounds very simple and calm. And she just is implying to me to say the rosary for oneself, which I like that. It's for one's own.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And certainly if it allows you to focus and look at yourself and observe the world and achieve balance and calm for all of those things. That's totally cool. Let me ask you this though, Lynn, and thank you for pointing that out. But what about the UFO side of this? My take, I want to hear your answer on this. I just think it was a UFO event. I really, really, really do. That maybe was spun or misinterpreted into something religious. That may offend a lot of people, but that's just my opinion. The spinning sun zigzagging down to Earth in front of 60,000 people that all saw the same thing and photographs, that feels, smells, and tastes UFO to me. What do you think about that?
Well, to my understanding, is that you make a very good point, and that could be possible. To my understanding, she did say to them she would bring about a miracle, as it were. His power always comes through Jesus. I wasn't Catholic, right? But to me, it was predicted they would get a miracle. But it's, you make a very good point. I guess the only thing I could possibly say to some people is if I was to invite you to pray the rosary, if you could see the difference, just it makes you feel so wonderful, then it's almost like letting go and letting God, like they say in the 12-step groups. I don't have the answer for everything. You've
raised
a very good point.
Right.
It's just...
Well, zigzagging the sun down to Earth isn't a miracle. That's showing us something cool. Mary didn't say, hey, I'm going to trip you guys out. If you guys all get together, I'm going to just wiggle the sun up there. No, that's not... She said, you know, it was miracle.
I'll admit, though, because I'm not...
Well, you know what I mean, though.
That's a very good point, but yeah. I wonder, see, having not been raised in a traditional Christian manner, couldn't a miracle be something far out there?
Could be.
It's true.
Could be. Something lost in translation, for sure.
Well, but, I mean, you do raise some very good points, and I'm not claiming to, I'm trying to be respectful of that. It could be true. I just know that when I pray it, I've felt such incredible peace I'd never ever felt before. So, you know, I am trying to be open to what you all say, and because you're open to...
Yeah, I'm right back at you, Lynn. I'm open to you. Thank you for the phone call, and be safe out there, and happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Lynn in Toronto, Canada. Great phone call. All right, let's go to Max in Chicago. Wild Card. Max, you're up next.
Good morning, Jimmy. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, Max. How are you? Happy Mother's Day.
Same to you. Happy Mother's Day to you. But last night I tried to get in and I couldn't, and I wanted to quickly, if it's okay, give my brief explanation why about the timing of the Comey thing. I know you were, that was kind of troubling you a little bit. Can I give you my perception of it real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I was, first of all, I like to preface it by saying I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm an independent and I observe things, you know, not from one side or the other. I was in Jackson, Wyoming last year, heading up to Yellowstone when Comey gave his press conference.
Right.
And I'm sure you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And according to several high-level legal minds, that should have disqualified him from being the director of the FBI immediately, because he was supposed to give an investigation and pass it on to the Department of Justice, which would have been Loretta Lynch, who said she would take the word of the, you know, lifelong prosecutors, which would be her deputy and their staff. So he usurped the system right there, which was shocking to all of us, I'm sure.
But nobody said anything then, though. That's what was weird to me.
Well, it was very shocking, and I think everybody was like holding on to the end of their chair and going, "You got to be kidding me!" And then when it came to just the week before the election, he violated his position again. There's a longstanding law, or you know, position in the government that you don't interfere with an election within 30 days, I believe, unless it's extremely, you know, you can prove it. It's not just a hypothetical.
Right.
And he did it again. So he disqualified himself again. And then when it came around to the election,
hold on, Max. Let me jump in before we do run out of time. And okay. And you bring up some very valid points. But here we are, and that's why I'm tripping. Because we are in the middle of May 2017. A lot of what you are talking about is a year old,
this was, I was setting myself up for, to tell you why the timing is now.
Okay. Let it fly. Yes, let her rip,
okay,
tater chip.
Let it fly real quick.
All right.
Okay. They're talking about Russia this, Russia that. And first of all, the Clintons, you know, sold fissile nuclear material to the Russians, 20% of our plutonium stash, which should be more concerning than any of this. If Rex Tillerson talked to him about some oil, or Mike Flynn said, "Hey, yeah, when we get in there, we're gonna do."
But
that,
back,
you know,
to Comey,
you guys. But here's where,
right?
Here's the zinger. They didn't say anything about what Obama and Susan Rice and her staff did to unmask several citizens, which should be our biggest concern. And I think when Trump saw that, when Comey came out to give his testimony a week or two ago and said, "What? They're still talking about this silly Russia crap? What about that? They're going to overlook that?" And that should be more important to you and me and all of our listeners than anything else. If they're using our data and unmasking and putting us all at risk. So I think when he saw that, he was like, "That's it. Enough of that. They're trying to cover up this for that." He's a political hack, and he had to go. And I don't, if anybody doesn't see that, they got to be in bed with the Clintons and the Democrats.
Okay. Well, you know, this show, well, certainly with me, it's never about politics. But Max, I appreciate that. But my take on all of this, when we look at everything in its totality, there is something going on behind the scenes with a deep state, or somebody's pulling the strings that we know absolutely nothing about. That's what's driving the agenda. And we will find out. And when we do, it's going to be much bigger than any of this other stuff that we're talking about. It's going to pale in comparison. That's my prediction. But I'm going to stick to it until it becomes crystal clear. Let's go to... Let's see here. We went east, west. Let's go back out east. Sal, Cleveland, Ohio, you're up next on Coast.
Morning, Jimmy. Happy Mother's Day.
Right back at you, Sal.
Okay. Just like the guest, I went to Catholic school during the 1950s also, you know.
And you made it through.
Yeah.
Right on.
But, you see, I got a different take on what he was saying. You know, like the possibility that Mary came here via UFO or spaceship or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that. You know, she came here on something more powerful, via the Holy Spirit. is how she got here.
Okay.
And the message that she gave, he seemed to say that, why would, a couple of times he mentioned this, why would Mary give such a complicated message to three kids that didn't even know how to read and write? You know?
Sal, that's exactly the point.
Yeah, that's a miracle in itself.
Right, it certainly
okay.
is.
And the reason why, the solution was simple. We were all to pray for the conversion of Russia, and we didn't do it. That's Father Pirro's issue with the Catholic Church.
Sal, amazing points here. And going back, as you know, Peter starts to polish the glass for us, you know, we can start to see through this somewhat, and he's so good at that. And we start to take a look, really, about what has happened in the last 100 years with Russia, the disappearance of the church and its return, and the collapse of communism. And you start to look at that third secret, and second secret, and prophecy. It seems strange. It does. It just makes you want to back up and go, maybe. Well, how does anybody know the future like that?
In our elections.
I know.
You know, they're still a real threat. They could, you know, they could be part of the start of World War III. But before I go, I'd like to just say, you know, if you ever see that movie, The Miracle of Fatima, that was made during the 1940s, it was starring Gilbert Rowland.
Okay.
That's a very good take on The Miracle of Fatima.
Well, you know what else is a really good take on it?
What?
The first 10 minutes of The Blues Brothers.
Oh, that.
Am I right?
Oh, are you talking about when they were beating
at Catholic school.
Beating their hands?
Yeah, where was that? Oh, Sal, come on, I gotta keep my professional face on here. Was that similar to what your Catholic school experience was like?
Yeah, it was corporal punishment, you know. But we got it at home too, you know.
Well, you know, times have changed, haven't they?
Yeah.
I do remember. Let's go to the conspiracy of the school system that kids today have no idea. I'm not that old, right?
How old are you?
I'm 53.
Oh, I'm 66.
Right. So you and I went through reality in the school system.
Yeah.
Right. And can you imagine today if what we went through in school, if it went down today? Kids today don't have any idea. They don't have any idea.
But I'll tell you one thing.
I miss it.
The kids were better then.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I was.
Wasn't these murderers that were, you know, like 14 years old. We never heard of such a thing.
And that's the conspiracy, Sal, that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right there, that maybe that is part of the issue. Maybe that's the grand plan where they want society to be tipped upside down by undisciplined an undisciplined generation compared
well,
to the
might send Mary again.
Yeah, you never know.
Yep.
Hey, Sal, thank you for the phone call,
all
man.
Right, thanks a lot for letting me talk, Jimmy.
Yeah, absolutely. Great points.
Right.
When I talk about, I get a little freer over on my other show. I speak more about myself, but I really trip out on what we went through in school here in the United States all the way through probably the late 70s. It's a different game today. This is Coast to Coast AM Open Lines. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Now, if you enjoyed the show tonight, go and check out the show that I do before Coast, Monday through Thursday, live. It's called Fade to Black. Very simple. Just go click on my name right there, Coast to Coast. Take you over there, all the information that you need. And just remember, we're live for 3 hours, Monday through Thursday, right before Coast, from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. As soon as our show wraps, you go straight into Coast, and you get yourself 7 hours of paranormal talk every single night of the week. So there you go. All right. I'm going to get right back to it. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We have open lines now. Let's close out the show. And when I come back, we'll get to everybody. I promise. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to Coast Saturday night. Let's go straight back to the phones. And I do want to say to everybody out there, happy Mother's Day. Let's go east of the Rockies to Jim in Nashville. Jim, you're up next.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Jim. Nice name. How are you?
Yeah. Good name. Hey, I have a couple of things. I'm sorry I missed Peter. It's such a great show. Thanks for doing a show on Fatima. I think doesn't matter what anybody believes. I think it's a really interesting topic, regardless.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, you're a Coast Insider, so you know, catch the replay.
Yeah, that's right. And the thing I wanted to say is Peter kept saying that the government at the time in Portugal was secular, but it's my understanding from what I read that it was Masonic. And at the early part of last century, it seemed like the church and the Masons were sort of at each other's throats. Maximilian Kolbe was mentioned not too long ago, and even if you do a Google search, type in Maximilian Kolbe Masons, he's done quite a bit of writing on the Masons. And even to this day in the Catholic Church, if you're Catholic and you become a Mason, it's just automatic excommunication.
Well, those are great points, Jim, but also, I mean, it was so complicated. Portugal, Spain, with the Knights Templar and their influence and what was going on there too as well, needs to be mentioned. And the way that the Vatican and their influence, not only in Portugal, but in Spain, was changing, and it was going back and forth. This was not a very simple time to be a resident of Portugal or Spain. It was complicated, and at the same time you had World War One going on.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
So, yeah, all of those points, it like I said, it gets very, very complicated, and we could spend, and especially with somebody like Peter, we could spend 2, 3, 4 nights talking about this and never get to all of it. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim. And thank you for pointing all of that out.
Yeah. And the second thing I wanted to mention was that the consecration of Russia was supposed to happen with all the bishops of the world by 1960.
Right.
And I know Pope Pius XII made an attempt to do a consecration. So did John Paul II. He did a consecration to the world. And it was never said this is just all my understanding. Obviously, I'm not an expert on this, but from what I understand, it never said that communism would spread through the world. It said the errors of Russia would spread through the world. And under communism, they designed the work schedule so that the mom and the dad wouldn't be home that very much or at the same time, so that the state could have more influence on children.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I often wonder about in our country with everyone, a lot of people, you know, unemployed and just kind of kept at the survival level. It's sort of the same thing where, you know, with the propaganda or who knows, is there a shadow government? Is there, the media owned by 5 corporations, you know? So in some ways, is the new media that we have some sort of state, you know, and that's just my question in it, because for me, I don't think it's all over yet. I don't think that they, you know, there's a lot of things that weren't, I guess what I'm saying is I think that there's more to the secret than what was released.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim. And thank you for the phone call and happy Mother's Day. One of the points that I keep trying to drive home is we, no matter what we read about the three secrets or the prophecies, that's only what we are told. The real side of it, the real truth, that I'm not sure if that is what we have been presented here. I'm going to go to First Time Callers Line right out here in Los Angeles. Steve, you're up next on Coast. Welcome. Steve? Okay, well, I guess Steve isn't there. So I'm going to take another California call, another Los Angeles. Charles, you're up next from Los Angeles. Welcome to Coast.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. A friend of mine lives in West Los Angeles. And she told me a long time ago that a friend of hers happened to be in Portugal and the area there. Apparently, this Sister Lucia was kept almost like a prisoner in the Catholic Church. They didn't want her talking to anybody.
Right.
And my friend's friend happened to be there when Sister Lucia was transferred to a slightly different location. And Lucia confided with her that the third prophecy of Fatima is the demise of the Catholic Church.
Could be. You know, could be. Again, I think we all need to, excuse me, I think we all need to look at it like that. I mean, don't we? I mean, shouldn't we?
Well, from what I, you had somebody on, or George Norrie did a few months ago, that said that the Vatican supported Adolf Hitler from 1933 on.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
Right.
And so I've never had much appreciation for the Catholic Church.
Well,
I think they're more political than they are religious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a different world today. And what has gone on with the Vatican over the years, we are not part of that. You know, today, we are not part of that. We are not responsible for that. Can't really apologize for it or be angry. We need to look at tomorrow and not try to make excuses up for the past. That's my take on that. But I really appreciate it, Charles. And thank you for the phone call. Yeah, you know, it's a little tarnished. It's a little weird out there right now. Let's go to John in Cerritos, Wild Card. John, you're up next on Coast.
Another L.A. Area.
Yeah, right?
I'll just real quick, when I was in college, the National Lampoon did a spoof on the Fatima letters, and not to make light of it, but one of their predictions from the third prediction was that the last Allman brother will die in 1982 or something like that. It was just...
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I know.
That's
but
excellent.
Anyway, I wanted to say I was in Fatima in the 80s, and it's turned into, the shrine has been turned into a tourist trap. They in your hotel there, they have part of the hotel. There's a bunch of hotels there, but there's a view you can get on one side, not the other. One of the hotels, and they charge more for the room with the view.
Yeah, I actually went. You know, John, it's funny that you bring that up because I went and checked it out myself,
yeah.
And I just went to one tour. They had I forget the number, but it was in the 300s, 300 tours. That you can book one of 300 tours to Fatima all year long, right?
Yeah.
And that was just one website, right?
You know what they always, nothing can, no a religious event is too solemn to be exploited by capitalism. But also they sell you these, did you see the little carpet samples that people that were doing the pilgrimage on their knees? They'd get the carpet samples to make it easier on their knees to crawl to the spot.
Yeah, sure.
All the little shops with the Fatima.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, but I believe it.
They have all these little shops with, like, you know, with the Virgin Mary, you know, T-shirts and stuff. I'm telling you, it's like, it was pretty amazing. Real quick about the press. I'm a member of the press.
What do you do?
I'm a journalist. I've been in business for 38 years. I work for a news service now, which I won't name. But
L.A. Times?
The thing about this is I think that what's bothering me are the networks that are just leaning too far to the left now.
Right.
And it's just not even a fair fight. So I think when the things that, when, if somebody suggests that Clinton, you know, has been a liar and all that, or, you know, they it won't even be considered. They'll be the defense of the press, you know, the Chuck Todds of the world, you know, and the Stephanopoulos of the world won't pursue it like they are for Trump. And I think that's the resistance that he feels he must respond to. I just basically want to say, but they if somebody would come out and say, oh, Hillary Clinton, you know, she was a dishonest too, or they started investigating her, there'd be this like, oh no, we're the only ones that can actually be dishonest are the ones that don't agree with us.
Right, right. Well,
you know,
John,
I mean?
Yeah,
and
John,
that was the resentment.
Yeah,
you know, that's why guys like Trump exist.
Yeah,
quite frankly.
I hear you. I don't want to feel like I'm interrupting you, but I'll say this: the bias is there on both sides. If you want to go out, and thank you for the phone call, John.
Not like on the left.
Yeah, well, they're the same, right? You want to go extreme left, you can find that on television. You can find that news outlet. It's there in mainstream. And you can find the you can find anything today. I think it's all biased. The I watched this thing the other day with Frank Zappa. I was watching this interview. And Frank, this is what Frank said, and we've all lost sight of this. He goes, you know what news is? News is a camera showing something and then telling us exactly what happened, not opinion. And today, and Frank's been dead for a long time. And he said, no, you know, the news today is nothing but opinions, opinions from one side or the other. It's never actually reporting the events. That's what we need is news. And it's just so prophetic compared to what we are dealing with today. All right, let's see. How much time do I have left here? Let's go to, this looks interesting. Let's go to Mike in Denver, Colorado. Mike, you're up next.
Hey, yeah. I just made a comment on the Russian thing, too. The item that's being litigated right now, I think, in the FBI is, you know, that there's a hot fire hose of dirty money coming out of Russia that's being laundered somehow in America. And a lot of the companies that are doing the front stuff for the laundering are Trump companies.
There's a direct
connection between the two.
Right.
Because Friday night, the guy who's now managing the Southern District of New York after Preet Bharara got fired, he said, I don't care where the money's coming from or who's handling it here. There's a fire, you know, this stream of money is coming out of Russia. We're going to find it and we're going to expose it.
Well, Mike, before we run out of time, because we're here at the end of the show, I want to say this, that money pipeline that you're speaking of goes in both directions, right? That money's also going out of this country to influence things, not only in Russia, but every single country on planet Earth. I mean, to be upset about it coming in this direction when, you know, it's obvious that everybody is doing the very exact same thing. All right, let's see. Let's go way out east. I've got enough time to get Brenda in from West Virginia. Brenda, you're up next.
Hey, how you doing out there?
I'm doing good, Brenda. How are you?
Oh, I got some crazy stuff I wanted to tell you.
Okay, really quick. We're at the end of the show, so let's hear it.
All right. I was with my boyfriend and my daughter one day, and we was driving through this little town in West Virginia, and we kept seeing this number 513 everywhere. Like 513 something street, there's a yard sale, and 513 whatever. You know, all this 513.
Uh-huh.
And we was all three of us kind of freaking out about it, thought it was kind of strange. And I've been a paranormal investigator for 14 years, so I'm always looking for weird stuff anyway. But we go home and forget about it. And like a year later, we decided to get married, and we went on a ghost hunt that night. And I met this couple to do a ghost hunt at their house, and I'd never met them before. And they're like, what are you doing on a ghost hunt on your honeymoon? You know? And I'm like, well, that's normal for us. And we go on from there. And like, I swear to God, like a year later, all of a sudden it hit me that we got married on 513.
Oh, that's weird.
Friday the 13th, 513. I was born on 13th of January. My only daughter was born on September the 13th. And 13 has been in my life, and 5 forever.
Well, and right now on the studio clock, it's 15313.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. As you were saying that, now it's 15333. Just letting you know. Just letting you know, Brenda.
You see? I mean, you know, it's like, if people wanted to see UFOs, all they have to do is look up. People just don't pay attention, you know? Just don't pay attention. It's all out there. I've seen ghosts and stuff like that forever, you know?
Well, no, that's exactly the point. And if you're looking down, you know, when somebody says to me, I've never seen a UFO, I go, well, have you looked? Well, no. Well, you know, that's half of it, is you have to be looking.
I got two nephews. They were about 4 and 5 years old, and they was playing in the backyard one day, and they said that Jesus came down out of the sky and hovered about a foot off the ground and stood there and talked to them a while.
Well, that goes back to my question that I had earlier. I can't believe we didn't get back to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's consider a couple of things. There is a creator of the universe. Some say it's God. Okay, let's say God created the universe. Does that mean that Jesus is unique only to planet Earth? That Jesus, or are those same experiences played out on the other planets throughout the universe in our galaxy?
I don't know, man. It's just, I've never, my daughter, from the time she was a genius, and I had to take her out of school. They said she was on college level in the third grade.
Right.
And I took her out of school because they didn't know what to do with her. And she told me ever since she could talk, which she had books memorized at 18 months old that I'd read to her. And she told me ever since she could talk that she's seen ghosts all the time, you know? And I'd just pat her on the head and say, you're just having a dream, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'd give me that dumb look and roll her eyes, you know, because she knew she was smarter than I was.
Right.
And so this went on until she was like 14. And I just never believed it, Jimmy, you know? I mean, you're not going to believe in ghosts unless you see them, you know?
Well, that's true. But what if, and we've got 15.
I did see one. I believed it then. My mother died. My mother shows up in my bedroom and talks to me for an hour and what has this big, long list of stuff she wanted me to do. And when that hour was up, I go running upstairs to my daughter. I'm like, wake up, Alyssa, wake up. I've seen a ghost. I've seen a ghost. And she just kind of looks at me and she said, it's just grandma, mom, get over it. I told you I've been seeing ghosts all my life.
But that's what I'm talking about. Hey, Brenda, thank you and happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I appreciate everybody else out there in the country.
You got it. Thank you so much. You too. That brings up the question. You know, you meet E.T., right? You have that in your bedroom experience at 3 a.m. and you look up. And what if he had a cross? What if he was wearing a cross on a chain, right? What would that say? Well, you just have to ask, you know, there you go. Is it the same on every other planet? I want to thank Nathan, Dana, Donna, Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, Sean, and of course, George and Tommy. It's been a great weekend here on Coast to Coast. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Very simple. And until next time, go Beckley Tappy.